Hey guys, welcome to Rambling Roys, a podcast where we seek to see how Jesus intersects our everyday lives. I'm Nicholas James DeVusser.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Josh.
Wow. You left me hanging on like the full name.
Listen, that's a you thing. That none of the rest of us like that.
I'm sorry that you're ashamed of your middle names.
Andrew. That's mine. Just throw it in out there for the internet.
So your initials are JAG.
JAG, yes.
I like
Never thought about being a JAG, though. Maybe I should have.
Amanda's ALD.
Yeah.
Too bad you can be ALF.
I know.
Too bad.
Yeah.
If my mom had taken my grandma's last name, I would have. At least she had not taken my dad's last name.
Missed opportunities.
If you marry someone whose last name is I, you could be Aldi.
Okay.
Could Dakota get a name change?
Yeah, could change his last name.
To make this happen.
Y'all talk to him.
I'm going to send him a message right now.
Yeah, so Amanda.
Yes.
What are we talking about today? And what Office episode are we kind of comparing it to?
We're talking about In Christ Alone, and the Office reference more than an episode is just the way that Michael Scott views David Wallace. He looks to him to answer every single question that he could ever have. He thinks that he could never be wrong. He could never do anything wrong. And then specifically in the episode or the second episode where David Wallace makes a vacuum.
We're going to get an explicit rating now. Dang it.
Michael goes to David because he thinks he's going to have all the answers. And David's just hanging out with his son, playing the drums, making a child's vacuum. It's just oh, no, you disappointed me. Finally, I understand that you can actually do that.
Yeah, I just remember on that episode where he's pulling out and David's out there in his bathrobe, waving bye to Michael.
Yeah.
And Michael's talking to the camera. He's I don't know what kind of monster that is, but that's not David Wallace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he looked to him as this this salvation figure and was super disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Amanda said, we're looking at In Christ Alone today, which is a good hymn. You should go listen to that right now. But also called Solus Christus.
Listen, I don't speak Italian.
I don't speak Italian. So Josh, can you go kind of into the history of not only the solas, but also Solus Christus?
Yeah. So this goes back, RUF stands for Reformed University Fellowship. And what does it mean to be reformed? That's part of what we're trying to hit on the podcast. And that has a history going back to the Protestant Reformation in 16th century, mainly Northern Europe, where people in the church were kind of waking up, especially in the midst of the Renaissance, where they were recovering. How do we read Greek and Hebrew, the original languages of the Bible? And they started comparing what was actually in the Bible, what was being taught according to the original languages, to what the church of the day was teaching through its Latin translations of the Bible and the church traditions that it accumulated over the years. And they realized that a lot of things were really out of whack, that a lot of things needed to be reformed. And one of the things that needed to be reformed was what we looked at last week, scripture alone, because the church was saying that the church was actually the final authority for what Christians should believe. And the reformers were hold on, we need to define that on the basis of the Bible. The other thing that was happening in the church of the day was that people were saying that, actually to be saved, to be right with God, you needed to go through this elaborate process with things like penance and indulgences where, long story short, you could buy your salvation. You had to try to be really hard to be good enough to try to earn your salvation. And maybe saints and the Virgin Mary played a role in your salvation. And so you should call upon them too. And the reformers went back to the Bible and they said, well, actually, like the New Testament seems to be teaching that Jesus is a sufficient savior, that we contribute nothing to our salvation except the empty hands of faith, which is something we'll get into in a few weeks, looking at salvation by faith alone. But that Jesus is a sufficient savior and he's the only savior and redeemer. We don't need the Virgin Mary or saints or human efforts to be saved, but salvation is this gift that comes through the person and work of Jesus alone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Amanda, any thoughts on that?
I just feel like it makes more sense than the penance and all of the other stuff.
Yeah. I'm glad you feel that way.
Like the idea
you're working for UF.
No, like just the idea of that, like it just doesn't click with me whatsoever. Like,
yeah. And a lot of it was like just like this buildup of church traditions where like things got in the way and just the confusion that came sometimes from how the Latin translations of the Bible, like what they said, and then how church leaders took the Latin and they weren't studying the original languages. So they lost, it's like lost in translation what was originally going on and became this like overly complicated thing.
Yeah. So going back to the person and work of Jesus, you mentioned. So two questions here, two-part question. Why is it through Jesus alone that we, you know, can reach God? And how is it through Jesus alone?
Yeah. Well, and again, it kind of goes back to what we talked about with Scripture alone. Before that, some of it's like, well, this is the message of the Bible and trusting that the Bible is God's word. But one scripture passage in John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's kind of cluing in the disciples to this fact that Jesus is going to leave them. And he's talking about going to prepare a place for them. And the disciple Thomas is like, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to Thomas, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Jesus is telling Thomas, well, really, how do you ultimately know the Father? He's saying, well, I am the way to the Father. And in the Greek, it's this idea of like, I am the way, that is, I am the truth and the life, that in Jesus, all of God's revelation from the Hebrew Bible comes to this grand culmination and fulfillment, and that Jesus is also the one, because he's the eternal Son of God, he brings the fullness of life that makes salvation possible. And so if Jesus is the one who is bringing this ultimate life, then it's not possible to find that life outside of him. You have to go through him and be in relationship with him. And then that kind of goes into the how question. In 2 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul has this idea that Jesus is the one who brings about reconciliation, that he reconciles us to God. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 21, Paul writes, for our sake, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. And it's this idea of Jesus on the cross. The how is that Jesus lived this perfect life that we couldn't live because Jesus had perfect life in himself as the Son of God. Jesus died on the cross for our sins to be the substitute for the judgment we deserve. And in Jesus rising again from the dead, Jesus is being declared not guilty by God, becomes the verdict for us. That we are not held liable for our sins, that we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, and that because of the life of Jesus, we can grow in having this experience of new life and the hope of being with God forever. But it's all made possible because of what Jesus alone has done.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah. I have a kind of in-between question that's not like super serious.
Yeah.
if you mm-hmm. could pick one person from The Office that you're stuck in a room with for 24 hours, who would it be?
That's a really good question. Do you have an Plop. Answer, Amanda?
Plop.
Plop.
Yeah, he would be pretty chill.
I feel like he and I would just be able to vibe.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's pretty chill.
I feel like it would be kind of scary, but like Creed.
I was thinking Creed. Yeah. You know,
at the end of The Office, my only gripe with the series as a whole kind of at the end is like, I wanted more Creed. I wanted to understand more about that guy. More cameos for Creed. Yeah.
Dude,
I mean, it would be scary.
Hashtag cameos for Creed.
How about you, Nick? Who would be yours?
I just think Jim, because I feel like we would vibe and, you know, I couldn't talk sports with Plop, but I could definitely talk sports with Jim. Mm-hmm. So.
Especially if there's like a basketball hoop, you know, in the room, like you'd shoot hoops with Jim. That'd be sweet.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. So I think the hours would pass faster. Okay. Follow up. Who's the last person from The Office you would want to be with in a room?
Dwight.
Angela.
Because Dwight would pee in a quarter.
Yeah.
Oh. I think, either Dwight or Kelly.
Oh, I could get along with Kelly.
Mm. Kelly would talk way too much.
I can see you and Kelly really vibing, Amanda.
I could see that.
I wouldn't have to talk. She could just talk.
I would go crazy. My head would explode.
You have to lean into your newly found 8-wing and it's time to stop.
I don't know.
Let's make this podcast about Nick's Enneagram transformation. Audible.
Everyone, I want you to know Nick has figured out he's not a 3. That he's actually a really healthy 9.
Well, I don't know. First of all,
figured it out.
I'm pretty sure, but also at the same time, the change is kind of scary, and I don't want to just like jump right into it.
Welcome to 9-ness. Change is scary.
Change is scary. Yeah. So circling back.
This is something that doesn't change in Christ alone.
And very nice.
Oh, man.
Very nice.
Look at Amanda.
That was awesome. Professional.
She's learned a lot in this internship. Yeah. So,
I have a question.
Okay,
can I ask my question now?
Go ahead.
So in this world, speaking of change, in this world of change, and for our Queens folks, right, listening to this, it's after the news that y'all will not be coming back to campus for the fall. How, like, what difference does believing that salvation is by Christ alone make for everyday life? How is that hopeful and helpful in the midst of everyday life?
Yeah. I think it really comes in our assurance that we have. If salvation is by our own works, then we don't have assurance of salvation, because if it's up to us to gain it, then it's obviously up to us to lose it. And we can lose it if it's by that. But when we look at it as Jesus's work on the cross for us, and him applying it to us, and there's nothing that we do to gain it or to lose it, then we can rest in that assurance. And I think us as people, like, we want to gain it. We're not like super comfortable with that grace, with that free gift. We want to feel like we've done something to deserve it or to gain it. And so in a sense, I guess it can be uncomfortable, but once we grasp the depths of, like, I kind of suck as a person, like, I'm very sinful and, like, I definitely don't deserve this, then that's when it becomes more sweet to us. Like, okay, I'm terrible, but Jesus did this for me. So it kind of helps to, I don't know, helps us in our everyday lives of corona and classes, feeling like we are failing constantly. We constantly have to justify ourselves. But yeah, I probably talked too long, but I think that's how I see it. Amanda, do you have any thoughts as well?
No.
No.
It's nice to have something that's constant in a world that's absolutely not constant.
Yeah, I love that. It makes me, what you guys were saying, it makes me think of Ephesians 1:3 that I find myself going back to a lot, thinking about like this idea of salvation being in Jesus, which at one level maybe can seem even uncomfortable and its exclusivity and that kind of thing. But Ephesians 1:3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Like this idea that like in Jesus, we have everything that we need. Like you have everything that you need for getting through a pandemic, virtual classes, a change in your Enneagram number, whatever it is, right? There's everything there in him, which is a claim that if you look at any other world religion, regardless of the good things that they teach in some ways, there are no claims like that that Christianity makes about Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. I think it's interesting that going off what you just said, when you look at other religions, you know, they claim usually to like they're a good teacher. Like Muhammad, for instance, he claimed to be a good teacher, but he didn't claim to be perfect. He admitted that he was not perfect. Jesus is the only, quote, good teacher who claimed to be perfect. And so you have some conclusions that come from that. Like C.S. Lewis says, he's either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. Mm-hmm. So I think it's interesting that Jesus is the only one that actually makes that claim from those religions. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Which I think is like a good thing just for Christians to be honest about, like as we think about engaging people of other faiths, and it's really important that we engage folks in love and listen to where people are coming from and realize that that all truth is God's truth, but that ultimately, like historically, the claims of Christianity really do demand kind of this investigation into, well, either this is true or this isn't. Like in some other faiths, like aspects of like Hinduism or whatever, like there's some room for wiggle room. And Christianity ultimately, it's like, well, either this guy actually rose again from the dead, or he didn't. Like and that if he did, then his claims are true, and we have to reckon with that and interpret everything else in light of that.
Right, and if he didn't, like Paul said, our faith is futile.
Right.
So
yeah,
definitely. Yeah, Amanda, you look like you're having a blast.
I'm just really listening for once. I'm actually taking things in. I have a hard time listening for the most part, but I was actually listening.
I'm proud of you.
Well done. Faithful servant.
And on that note,
that was so funny.
I'm chiming back out.
Yeah, guys, thanks for joining us for another episode. If you have thoughts or questions, you can contact us by our emails, or you can go to rambling_roys, I think it is, on Instagram.
Underscore.
Yeah, rambling_roys on Instagram. You can message us, message the RUF page, do whatever you have to. Let us know who you would be with from the office in a room for 24 hours. Yeah. So thanks for joining us again. Josh, thank you for sharing your wisdom with us and your knowledge.
Peace out.
He said, peace out, Girl Scout.
Yeah. Leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah. That's the only honest thing to do.
And have a dumb blessed day, you guys.
Solus Christus.